this morning. We have several that are out, but we're glad to have our visitors with us. Sorry I didn't get to meet you when you came in. We still have some of the October scriptures back on the table if you want to grab one of those if you haven't already. We are continuing our study this month on fear is a liar and how it is a liar. And we're going to continue today. We're going to look at a few more of the quotes on fear that people have made. Some of them are famous. Some of them we looked at last week were by presidents. And some are, we don't know who they are. At least I didn't. And some of them are unknown that we'll look at today. And those are just quotes that people have made about fear. And we know what fear is. We've all experienced it at some point in our life, maybe a lot of times. Depending on how fear has entered your life and how it maybe controls your life. And that's what we're talking about, you know, about how fear is a liar and that we need to not allow fear to control our life and that we need to be in control of our life. God needs to be in control of our life and not the devil with fear. Fear is a natural and primitive emotion that can be experienced by everyone to some degree. Fear is a basic emotional response to a perceived threat or danger. And it says perceived because sometimes the danger is not really there. And we talked about that last week a little bit, how, you know, when the lights go out and you're sitting there and there's no light and you hear a noise and then your fear starts taking over. You know, and the lights come back on. It's like, oh, there is no one-eyed, purple, you know, monster standing there. You know, there's nothing, you know, as we talked about last week, no clowns under the bed or whatever. But it is perceived most of the time. Not to say that we don't have fears that are real, because we do. You know, that is a fact that we have inside of us that help us from making stupid mistakes, you know. And we need to look at that. Fear triggers the body's fight or flight response, leading to psychological changes like increased heart rate and adrenaline. Fear is an essential survival mechanism, helping individuals to react to potential life-threatening situations. It can respond to immediately tangible threats and more abstract or learned through past experiences or observations. People may experience fear when in situations such as walking home at night and you're by yourself, okay? We watched a movie last night and there's this 12-year-old girl supposedly in New York walking home by herself, you know? And it's like, that's stupid, okay? You know, so there's times when like that fear is gonna kick in and you need to listen to it because you've made a stupid mistake, okay? Another one that it talks about is going to skydive, you know, and you're sitting there at the door, you know, fear's going to kick in. What am I about to do? You know? So you can either listen to the fear and buckle back in, or you can kick fear aside and jump. That might not be a smart decision, but, you know, you can't let fear rule your life. Fear is a very natural human response that arises as a defense mechanism in the face of potential danger or harm. It can manifest in a variety of situations and is a normal part of your human experience. However, when fear becomes extreme in certain situations, such as in social situations or towards a particular object, it may indicate a more significant issue. That was from the Simply Psychology website. But we still need to understand that fear is a liar. Fear is something we generate in our mind due to something we read or experienced or a movie we watched. You know, fear, a lot of fears, people's fears come from movies that are Hollywood made up. I mentioned last week the movie Jaws. Part of it was filmed in my hometown in Pensacola, Florida. You know, and people didn't go back into the water because of Jaws. They thought this big, 20-foot shark was zooming out there every time you got in the water. Very rarely, when you look at the statistics, very rarely are people killed by sharks, much less a great white shark, okay? Fear causes our brain to work overtime in certain situations that may or may not exist. Now, I wanted to read a few more of these quotes and scriptures from this month's sheet. It's not what you're afraid of that defines you, but how you handle it, okay? How you handle that fear. Our reactions to the unknown play a critical role in shaping our character. Just as a sculptor wields a chisel to mold stone, our experiences, particularly those laced with fear, chip away at the rough edges of our being, revealing the resilience that lies beneath. Each time we choose to face our fears head on, whether it's taking that first nerve-wracking step toward a dream or simply stepping outside of your comfort zone, we add a brushstroke to the masterpiece of who we are. How do we handle fear? Do we let fear rule our lives? Do we stand on the sidelines of life and let fear guide us? Or do we let God guide us and let God bless us? Fear can be a good thing when it keeps us safe. Fear isn't good when it controls our life. In 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power and of love and a sound mind." God has not given us a spirit of fear. The spirit that lives within us when we were baptized is not a spirit of fear, okay? It is a spirit of power. It is a spirit of love. And it is a spirit of sound mind. Fear should not define who we are. Fear should not rule our lives. Fear and worry should not guide our daily steps in life. What kind of a life do you have? What kind of life do you want? That is what God made us to be. He made us to have power over sin and of fear and of worry. That is the type of spirit that lives within each and every Christian. God made us to have love. Remember, this is the second greatest commandment. We've talked a lot about this lately. We are to love our neighbor as ourselves. God also gave us a spirit of a sound mind. That means we can make sound judgments on how we live our Christian lives. That means that we do not walk around in a state of fear and worry all the time. That means that we walk boldly. We walk boldly in Christ. Do not be embarrassed by your failures. Learn from them and start again. Failure, when faced and learned from, is a stepping stone to success. Embracing your failures as learning opportunities requires confronting them head on. This means acknowledging your mistakes, analyzing what went wrong, and owning your past in the outcome. It's not about shame or self-recrimination. We all, but about honest self-assessment. It's like discerning a plant and understanding its growth. You need to examine all its parts, including its wilted leaves, to grasp that plant's full potential. Once you've learned from your missteps, the beauty lies in the start again part. Don't let past stumbles define you or cripple your confidence. See them as a necessary detour, a chance to recalibrate and refine your approach. Equipped with newfound knowledge and resilience, you emerge stronger, ready to tackle the next challenge with sharper focus and greater determination. We cannot allow fear to determine who we are. And if you don't stop fear, that's exactly what it will do. you walk around like a little mouse, you know, scared of everything. And that's not who we as a Christian should be. The scripture in our scripture sheet was just the ending of this scripture. I think the last two or three scriptures. But when I read the whole part of it, I decided that I wanted to include these verses. I would encourage you to read all of Mark 4. But we're going to start in verse 35. On the same day, when evening had come, Jesus says to his disciples, "Let us cross over to the other side." And this, of course, is the Sea of Galilee that they're going to cross over. Verse 36, "Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, which is the rear of the boat, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?'" Imagine being in a small wooden boat, you know, and the waves are coming into the boat, okay? They were already filling. So it's not just a little bit of waves. This is a major storm that they're out there in the Sea of Galilee in a little rowboat, okay? Jesus is tired and falls asleep, okay? He has been fighting with a multitude or dealing with a multitude all day long. And he's tired. And you know what that's like, you know, to be tired when you've had a big day of things. But remember, he is human, so he was tired. But I think he also needed to prove a point to his disciples, okay? So he climbed in the back of the boat, got a nice big comfy pillow, and fell asleep. Notice that his disciples are scared of the sudden storm. I say sudden because his disciples are fishermen. And had they seen this storm coming in, they wouldn't have gotten into these small little wooden boats and pushed out into the Sea of Galilee. They would have said, no, sorry, Lord, we need to hold up till this storm passes. So because these fishermen got into these little boats and set out, I'm going to say that it was a sudden storm that the Lord brought in again to prove a point. They recognize that Jesus has power because they wake him up and ask him to take care of them and prevent them from drowning. "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" They think they are going to drown. Continuing on in verse 39. "Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But Jesus said to them, 'Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?' And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, 'Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?' All is quiet around them. No wind, no waves. Jesus turns to his disciples and asks them, 'Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?'" Not just a little faith, some faith. Why is it that you have no faith? Jesus asks us the same question when we tremble or are scared, when opportunities present themselves for us to be a Christian, to let our Christian light shine, but we hide it under a bushel basket. Why are you afraid? Why do you have no faith? Notice how Jesus rebuked his disciples. He asked them why they had no faith. I understand this is the beginning of his ministry. This is only chapter 4 of Mark. So they don't know who Jesus is totally. Even all the way through his ministry, they don't understand it. On when he's resurrected. Okay? So starting off, these fishermen, that he's just called to follow him, they don't understand who he is totally. They don't understand his power. They understand it to a degree because they woke him up and said, hey, do something. But when he did, when he made the storm go away and the winds go away, who is this? Do we have that same doubt and fear in our life today? Next week, I want to look at a couple of Bible stories that deal with fear and how it affected the people. But today, we're going to continue on. Bravely overcoming one small fear gives you the courage to take on the next. I've shared with you whenever I was down in Fort Walton Beach, Florida, doing a door knocking campaign, and I had spent a week going through the class and learning how to do the WeCare presentation and everything, and I was going along with a man and a woman, and we walked up to a door, and they said, and he knocked on it, and he stepped aside, and he says, you've got this one, Reed. And he's like, what? I said, what? And they opened the door, and I had to step up and do the presentation, which is what we talked about this morning in class. If the Lord were to come right now, do you know for certain, without a doubt, that you would go to heaven? And then we did the presentation, you know. And then the next one was easy. I'd already, you know, gotten through that initial fear of, you've got this. And then I continued on and studied with several people, baptized several people, you know. But you've got to get past that fear. You've got to realize fear, look it in the eyes, and go past it. The first step we take is crucial to moving forward. It is the initial act of conquering even a seemingly insignificant fear that triggers a powerful chain reaction of self-belief and paves the way for tackling bigger challenges in our life. And you've all, I'm sure, experienced that once you got past that initial fear. It made it easier the next time, didn't it? Romans 8 has several good scriptures in it. And again, it listed, I don't remember what it was, but when I read Romans 8, I pulled out three scriptures before the one that's on our paper. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit, the one that's living inside of us, himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. We don't know what to do, what to say, but the Holy Spirit is going to guide us, and we need to listen to that little Spirit and telling us what to do. Verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. That's us, brothers and sisters. And then verse 31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? I told you in class this morning that we were going to get to the scripture. Okay? If God is for us, who can be against us? Then going down to verse 37 through 39, which is on our sheet. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. One small step in conquering fear in our life gives us the strength to overcome fear the next time it rears its ugly head in our life. It doesn't matter if somebody we love passes away or life itself. No power on this earth should be able to break us away from God's love for us and our love for him. Nothing that has happened in our past, nothing that is currently in our life, or whatever can happen tomorrow or the next day should drive a wedge between us and Jesus. Nothing is too large or too small to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We accomplish this by overcoming fear and worry in our daily lives. Success is not final. Failure is not fatal. It is the courage to continue that counts. Winston Churchill, I think we all know who he is. It is imperative that we demonstrate resilience and courage in the face of both success and failure. Success, intoxicating as it may be, often carries the seed of complacency. We may bask in the warmth of achievement, forgetting the continuous effort it takes to maintain momentum. Similarly, failure, though it may sting and bruise our egos, should not be viewed as a dead end. It is, in fact, an invaluable teacher, offering crucial lessons about our strengths and about our weaknesses. Yeah, we do have weakness. Psalm 118, verses 5 through 9. I called on the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore, I shall see my desire on those who hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. What shall we do? We don't need to fear anything. With God in our corner, constantly giving us advice in our daily struggle with the devil. Verse 6 again, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Nothing. With God on my side. This is the thing that we need to listen to, is the advice from the Holy Spirit that He gives us. We can't ignore it and expect to triumph over Satan. We can't defeat Satan on our own. And he's there constantly trying to get our soul. And we need the Holy Spirit to help us to defeat him. We need to put our trust in the Lord Jesus the Christ and not the man. Not in our friends. Not in our best buds or our best friends. We need to put our full trust in God. Every day, that is what we need to do. When fear knocks on our door, send faith to answer it. It is a universal truth that to live is to encounter fear. Fear of the unknown. Fear of failure. Or fear of change. Okay? Whatever it is, we can't let fear control our life. However, within our anxieties lies the opportunity for transformation and growth. It is the recognition of this inherent human struggle that propels us to strive for something greater, to reach beyond the boundaries of our comfort zones. And we like those comfort zones, don't we? We like being inside of that. We don't want to push those, but we need to as a Christian. Fear, though a formidable adversary, is not insurmountable. Instead, it becomes a situation of severe trial in which resilience is forged in the catalyst for personal transformation. As we continue on our journey, let the scriptures we read about facing fear serve as a constant companion that encourages us to confront our deepest terrors, overcome obstacles, and ultimately unleash the tremendous power within ourselves to live authentically, boldly, and fearlessly. I pray that these scriptures help us to conquer fear in our lives and to rely more on God than ourselves, to rely on the Holy Spirit that is within us to defeat fear. Because fear is a liar. Fear wants to stop you from doing the things that you should be doing. Fear wants to stop you from doing God's will. Fear wants you to say no when you should be saying yes. Fear lies to us. And that's what we need to realize and need to overcome. If there's any way that we can help you this morning, let us know. Let us pray for you. Let us give you encouragement. That's what we as a family are here to do. If maybe you haven't put on Christ,
and that's something that you need to do, we have a baptistry that is ready for that problem as well. Please let me know.